On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I continue to discuss whether or not the NBA should come back in the next couple of weeks. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I definitely get the principle of it, but, like, in terms of actual, like, real life, like, these problems are not going to be fixed this year, they're probably not going to be fixed next year, they're probably not going to be fixed for, until, like, something bigger happens, something bigger changes, and I get that, like, that bigger thing is maybe less likely to happen if these guys play, but, like, if they don't play, you're kind of waiting a while, and a guy like Kyrie could probably afford to wait because he's already made so many millions of dollars. He's got all of his sponsorships. He's acted in a movie. And there's other guys who couldn't afford to wait. There's those guys who we talked about who are on the like fringe of even being on an NBA roster, guys who were maybe like hoping to get drafted this fall and like play their first game, live out their dream of making it into the NBA, who maybe wouldn't be able to if this was like a long-term thing. So there's a lot of like things to juggle and a lot of things to consider. And I think that the best move is probably to take sort of a balanced approach, especially because you mentioned the CBA. And I think that the, from what I've read, the league has the ability to kind of like renegotiate on the fly if players were to sit out and if the season was to get canceled. And that could lead to a whole bunch of financial ramifications, not just for the rest of the season, not just for next season, but for the next few seasons. And I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like the players have more power in the NBA than they do in any other sport, which I think is true because of their combination of like their star power and their recognition by like casual people. And then also their careers are a lot longer than like an NFL guy. So like if they wanted to hold out, like in theory, like a guy like LeBron who's going to play for 20 plus years, if he was like, okay, I'm sitting out this entire season to dedicate my life to racial justice, like that would be like a crazy thing. But it also, if it was only for a season, that's only like 5% of his career. For an NFL guy, like you might only play three seasons and that's like a third of your career right there. So they're a lot less willing to take that risk. So in some ways I'm like, okay, an NBA player maybe would be the kind of person who would do this, but also like, I don't know, the situation would have to be exactly perfect for that sort of thing to happen. Like we saw in the WNBA, Maya Moore has literally given up a year of her career at this point and is about to give up a second one. And she's accomplished a lot off the court. She had already accomplished a lot on the court, I think appearing in six WNBA finals in her seven seasons. So it would take something like that where like someone has already kind of accomplished all that they set out to on the court and is kind of like, okay, I want to do this thing. I'm secure enough. It would take like a superstar player, I guess on Kyrie's level, like he's won a championship, he's won All-Star Game MVP, he hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history against the Warriors. So I don't know. It's a weird position that he kind of finds himself in because he is like still in the league but also not playing this season. So he has that ability to kind of go back and forth between those two sides right now. I'm not really sure what he's going to do long-term, like if things wind up the NBA comes back and things like the movement kind of loses momentum or slows down. Is it just going to be like, okay, well, Kyrie's like back to playing now, or is this something that he's actually going to take up long term? I'm really curious to see what happens in like the next few months.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's just like, it's such a fascinating inflection point for him. I don't know. I think there's a lot of different ways that you can work on this. I mean, maybe it's that the NBA, along with the players and like with significant player input, creates kind of an education series on, you know, why they're speaking out, like just really at the roots of the racial injustice and like causes, what they can do to help, what their goals are. Maybe it's something that they play on commercials during these games while they're in the bubble. Like I think there's a lot of ways that they can. You know, it doesn't have to be a black and white thing. It doesn't have to be just, maybe it's very poor wording on my part, but it doesn't have to be just either a play and no activism or an activism and no play. I think it would be great to play, weaving in a lot of activism here. And that's not even just including kind of the money and the resources that they can use to donate, but I think really trying to educate the fans and basically saying, you know, if you're not, if you're someone who does not believe in racial justice right now and you're not an ally to the African-American community, we don't want you as a fan of the NBA, and really trying to break down some of these barriers and help these people who are struggling to understand why this is such a big issue and why it's something that we will not let die right now. I think something like that could be really, really impactful in just terms of using their voice for really positive change, and as opposed to just being looked at as a disruptor from people who you know, aren't super knowledgeable about the situation and are just kind of looking for a scapegoat.
Yeah, that makes sense. Josh, before we move on, want to tell the people about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And Josh, just to circle back to your last point, yeah, I think that's a really good idea, and I think that that's something that they could implement in, like, the broadcasts of these games if they were to happen. Like, during the first couple quarters, like, the game isn't that close or whatever, like, maybe talk about a protest that's happening, talk about some kind of cause on the broadcast as play-by-play guys and color guys and maybe sideline reporters, and, like, maybe have some kind of scroll or, like, a ticker on the bottom of the screen that's, like, has, like, links where you can donate or, like, numbers to call or facts or some kind of educational thing that's, like, okay, like, there's a game happening, but, like, even if you are, like, in another room and you just have the sound on, maybe you hear them talking about it, or maybe you're watching on mute, but there's, like, some kind of text or something, just something so that it's not, like, forgotten and that it's kind of, like, still in the back of your mind, like, okay, this stuff is still happening. And, like, sure, maybe, like, the last couple minutes of the game, maybe you lock in, you focus, it's a close game, it's a playoff game, whatever. Like, maybe, like, in those couple minutes, you really just, like, focus on the basketball. But, like, in, like, the first quarter, the second quarter, like, I don't really care about, like, a lot of the stuff that they talk about on the broadcasts in that point of the game. So maybe, like, using that time to, like, actually speak about things and talk about things, point people in the right direction, maybe that's a way that they can kind of blend those two worlds.
Or even maybe highlighting, you know, community activists or historical people that have made a lot of change that were local to the teams that are playing. So let's say, you know, if it's the Nets playing the Pacers, someone in, you know, Indianapolis history and someone in Brooklyn history that's made huge impacts on, you know, promoting social justice and reform, even things like that, I think could be really good. And the way that I look at it is that, you know, sports will eventually be coming back. And the NBA, by far, obviously, we know, most progressive league, league with the most African-American players. And obviously, as you said before, you know, by far, the league with kind of the most influential and star power-driven players, just because, you know, they're not wearing helmets. They're not wearing, batting helmets or football helmets. They're not a NASCAR driver in a car. They're, like, the recognizability even of, like, a 10th man on an NBA team is crazy.
Yeah, it's also crazy. Like, their heights, their, like, stature. If you were to just, like, walk into a bar and you see a guy who's, like, 6'10", you're like, okay, he's probably a basketball player.
Right, exactly. Except when the police are fucking ruin everything, and, you know, even when it's someone like Sterling Brown, they continue to But yeah, so I think, like, there are sports that are coming back, and having the NBA be the first one, though, and I think the change that they can do and the good that they can do for what we're trying to achieve is actually really, really powerful. And it's because right now people are so starved for sports. I'd say even non-NBA fans, they'll be glued to the TV during these playoffs, and it's a great opportunity to bring them into the fold. and really be the ones to control the messaging, as opposed to football, which has been a league for years and basically forever, that just not an ally on behalf of its players. Baseball, I think, you know, very polarizing and just isn't going to draw the eyeballs. And then the various other sports out there, hockey, what, you know. You
get yeah, I mean, we saw it even like with the coronavirus, where the NBA was at the forefront. They were the first league to like pause everything and then eventually suspend everything. Mm-hmm. Like, and when they did that, that's sort of, I think, when a lot of people started to take things more seriously. Like just casual people, like when you hear that, like a random office or something is like, oh, work from home for the next couple weeks or something, it's not as big of a deal as like, okay, this multi-billion dollar like international company is like completely stopping like everything they do. So maybe we should take this more seriously. Like if the NBA can actually like come up with some way to do this and come back in a safe way, and also like talk about all these issues and keep them in the ether and in the like sort of being discussed, then maybe other leagues will follow. Maybe when the NFL comes back, there's more pressure on them. I know a lot of players mm-hmm. are talking mm-hmm. about kneeling right now, guys who wouldn't have done that a few years ago. And so like keep that pressure on those players and on those owners and on Roger Goodell and on everyone like in any kind of position of power or who has a platform. Like if the NBA can come back and keep doing what they're doing and keep succeeding, then like in a capitalist society, if it's working, other people are going to try to emulate it and try to duplicate it. And so if they can do that and they can come back and everything works out, I think that could be really beneficial in the long term. Also, Josh, it felt weird not having one in the last podcast, so wanted to do a quick ad read for Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 16 amazing flavors. 8 are chocolate and nut combination. 8 are nut-free options. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're surprisingly soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person, and they can help to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, not high-sugar, low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber goodness. This week, they also have deals on up to 50% off everything, and all profits will be donated to charity. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. But yeah, back to what we were saying. I think we agree, pretty much.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page with that. There's a lot of good that can be done, and I think it's also a timing thing, because I think like obviously the rollout of this proposal comes at a time when things are very, very heightened, and it really is just starting, and we have a long, long road to go. But this is kind of the beginnings of it, and people really starting to organize and mobilize over these last few weeks, just as enough is enough. But also, you have to remember, they're not going to be going actually into the bubble for like a month, I think. And there's a lot of good that can be done in the meantime, and also a lot of good that can be done once they get in the bubble mm-hmm. that we've kind of outlined here.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of ways to approach it. And like you said, it's not just like play or speak out. You can kind of find a way to blend both.
Absolutely. Marcus, what else?
I think that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not much else going on.
I know. This has been a... I think this... You know what? The one thing I will say is that I'm really glad this has come up, because it has spurred a lot of really positive debate. And if they can... Even if they get back to playing, but also doing it in a way that's going to be a much greater catalyst for change and reform, then I'm glad Kyrie Irving's the one asking, you know, these difficult questions, being the one with these sound bites. It's never an easy thing to do. And he's a lot of courage for doing so, but if it can create some, and I don't even know if this was his, you know, full intention, probably was at least part of it, but if this can, either if they don't play, but, or if they do play, I think either way, it's going to be a much more thoughtful decision, and it's going to be much more impactful for getting the change and equality that we want.
Yeah, just keeping the conversation is productive. Also, I realized we never talked about KD and Kyrie officially being out.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about that for a second if we want to.
Feels like a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, it was like the news came out like right after we did our last podcast, when we were like, oh, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. That one didn't have a long shelf life.
No. So, yeah, I mean, like, at this point, I'm expecting the Nets to make the playoffs, lose in the first round. I'm assuming you're on the same page with that.
Yeah, I have, like, a very ominous feeling that they might
get not make caught. The playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's, like, everyone's being like, the Wizards, this is a joke. But I don't know. I mean, the Wizards definitely if it gets to within four games, which I think is very likely, the Wizards have beaten the Nets this year. They definitely have the best player in the matchup in Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? Who knows? I think regardless, the Nets do not have much of a chance against Milwaukee or who's the 2 seed right now? Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah.
Toronto, they can maybe take a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with that. Hopefully Caris LeVert can come back and show some more of what he had showed right before the season was suspended. Hopefully no one gets hurt. Everyone just sort of gets through these next couple of weeks.
Yep. Hopefully everyone gets hurt. No one gets hurt. Hopefully everyone stays safe. I don't know. Honestly, I feel like better about the Nets player safety if they're actually in the bubble, because especially where I live, and I think in general some of the more affluent neighborhoods in New York City, which is I mean 99% sure where all the Nets guys live, like a lot of people are just not wearing masks, which continues to infuriate me. But maybe they'll be better off in the confines of a trusty bubble in Orlando.
That's true. Yeah, they'll be getting tested, I think, every other day is what they said. So at least from a coronavirus standpoint, definitely should be okay.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, cool. I think this was a good episode, Marcus. I'm glad we had this conversation. Thank you, Kyrie Irving, for, as always, giving us stuff to talk about. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean. We will be there. Rate us, review us on Twitter. You will be able to find us at Locked On Nets. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. I am at JMBass_ if you want to give me a follow. By the time you're hearing this, I will also have been on Locked On NBA with our boy Josh Lloyd, Double Josh podcast. You can give that a listen. My perspectives, I don't think they'll change in between now and an hour from now when I record with Josh, but you can hear his lovely takes as always. And Marcus, until next time, be well.
Bye.